TIE fighters roared over Foamwander City, strafing with their laser cannons. Lances of green light etched smoldering damage into the city shell. One of the shockwaves tossed a wall of water at Leia's wave speeder. She fought for control but did not slow down, keeping her eyes fixed on the closing wave doors. If they didn't make it through the gap, they would be helpless out in the water, ready targets for the Imperial bombardment. Akbar said, "We left a squadron of B-wing fighters to defend the orbiting shipyards. Where are they? I have to learn what's happening up there." Kilgall maintained a quiet, steady voice. "Perhaps they are otherwise occupied." "Hang on," Leia said, and fired emergency thrusters. The wave speeder lifted another meter above the surface of the ocean as it flew in a last-ditch effort to get through the closing gap. Leia ducked as the diagonal metal wave doors ground closer and closer. The bottom layer of plasteel plating scraped off the wave speeder as Leia struck the sharp edge of the heavy door. Then they shot into the protected green-lit tunnel. With the vehicle traveling at such high speed, even that minor impact was enough to send them spinning. Leia wrestled with the controls, trying to slow the vehicle as it caromed off one wall and then the opposite wall, sending out showers of sparks. Finally, it ground to a halt. Behind them, with a thunderous echo, the wave doors slammed shut. Pausing only long enough to confirm that they were all unharmed, Leia picked her way out of the wreckage. Through the thick armor of the floating city, she heard the repeated thuds of explosions from TIE bombers and the screams from firing laser cannons. Akbar stepped away from the wreckage and turned to Kilgall. "Take me to the control center immediately. I want to be linked with the orbital defense forces." He already looked more alive, more alert. "If I can see what's going on, maybe I can figure out a way to help us all." "Yes, Admiral," Kilgall said. Leia wondered if she had used his rank intentionally. Flashing lights and alarm sirens echoed as they hurried through the serpentine corridors. Groups of Quarren rushed past, burbling exclamations through their tentacled faces as they scrambled down access shafts to the underwater levels. Leia had no doubt they were abandoning the city structure, swimming down to where they thought they were safe. When Kilgall reached a turbolift door, other Calamarians flocked to it, trying to get to the city's protected inner chambers. Kilgall raised her voice, the first time Leia had heard her do so. "Make way for Admiral Akbar. We must get to Central Command." "Akbar," several Calamarians echoed, stepping aside to allow him passage. "Admiral Akbar." Akbar seemed taller now, without the haunted look he had worn since the crash on Vortex. Leia knew that all Calamarians remembered the nightmare of Imperial attacks, but if anyone could mount a successful defense with what little resources they had, it would be Akbar. After the turbolift spilled them out onto the proper level, Ambassador Kilgall led the way. She used her diplomatic access codes to let them into the core of Foamwander City until they finally emerged into the chaotic Central Command. Seven Calamarian tactical experts sat at command stations watching the battle overhead. In the center of the room, a holographic wireframe diagram of the planet and its moon hovered amid sparkling pinpoints of fighters flying in defensive formation. Leia stared in awe at the two Imperial Star Destroyers that orbited the planet side by side, firing turbolaser blasts into the oceans. Overhead, TIE squadrons continued to harass Foamwander City. External viewers showed smoldering holes where proton bombs had punctured the city's armored plating. Foamwander's defensive lasers fired upward, burning ship after ship out of the sky, but more attackers kept coming down. Reeling with shock, the city commander turned from his post and noticed them for the first time. "Admiral Akbar, please, sir, help us with our defense. I cede my position." "Give me a tactical update," Akbar said, stepping to the holographic projection. "Kilgall," Leia said, raising her voice over the hubbub. "Get me to the comm system. I can use my priority codes to send for New Republic military assistance. On a low frequency, the codes can punch through any interference from those Star Destroyers." "Can their battleships get here in time?" Kilgall asked. "Depends on how long we can maintain our defenses here," Leia said. Though Leia could read no specific emotion on Kilgall's face, she sensed some measure of pride. "The Mon Calamari broke the first Imperial occupation using only common tools and scientific implements. This time, we have real weapons. We can hold them off as long as necessary." Kilgall motioned to a nearby control panel. "You may use that communication station to send your message." Leia hurried to the comm station and punched in the override codes to send a tight beam encoded signal directly to Coruscant. This is Minister Leia Organa Solo, she said. The planet Calamari is currently under attack by two Imperial Star Destroyers. We request immediate assistance. Repeat, immediate assistance. If you don't get here soon, don't bother to come. The city commander thrust a webbed hand into the holographic display of the battle. We positioned the entire squadron of B-Wing fighters to defend the shipyards because we thought that would be the most likely target. But when the Star Destroyers came out of hyperspace, they went into orbit and began an assault on the floating cities. Right now, both Star Destroyers are concentrating their firepower on Reef Home City. They've left two squadrons of TIE fighters and TIE bombers to cover Foamwander City. Another three squadrons are currently pummeling Coral Depths. Commander, one of the Calamarian tacticians spoke up, touching an implanted microphone at his ear hole. We've lost all contact with Reef Home. Their last transmission showed the outer hull breached in at least 15 separate places, water rushing in. The final image showed a large-scale explosion. Static signature analysis implies that the entire city has been destroyed. A quiet moan of dismay rippled through Central Command. The city commander said tentatively, I was about to withdraw defenses from the shipyards to attack the Star Destroyers. Akbar looked at the swarms of B-Wings still harrying the Imperial fighters. Good decision, Commander, he said, but stared intently at the map, at the moon, at the two Star Destroyers on the far side of the planet. Wait a moment, he said. Something looks very familiar to me. He paused, nodding slowly as if his great head were too heavy for his shoulders. Yes, Commander. Withdraw the B-Wing fighters, all of them. Send them to fight the Star Destroyers. Leave the shipyards entirely undefended. Is that wise, Admiral? Leia asked. No, he said. It is a trap. On the bridge of the Star Destroyer Gorgon, Admiral Dalla watched the battle unfold below her exactly as planned. In her heart, she felt a warm glow of pride for the tactical genius of Grand Moff Tarkin. Beside her ship, the Basilisk mowed a swath of death across the watery surface. Like a swarm of angry insects, the TIE fighters swept away the pitiful resistance the Calamarians managed to mount. The Rebel B-Wing fighters, and some of the mid-sized capital ships in orbit, proved only a minor nuisance. As the Gorgon and the Basilisk went through their carefully choreographed misleading attack, the Calamarian defense forces had followed along as expected, like marionettes pulled by strings. She turned to the communications officer at his station. Contact Captain Brusque on the Manticore, she said. The Calamarian forces have finally left their shipyards undefended. He may begin his attack at once. Akbar gestured with his hands and spoke with an undignified rapidity, as if he knew he didn't have much time. Before I was liberated by the Rebel Alliance, I was Moff Tarkin's indentured assistant. He took great pleasure in telling me exactly how he was going to enslave other worlds. By observing him, I learned the fundamentals of space warfare tactics, including Tarkin's own favorite strategies. He pointed a flipper hand into the images of the two Star Destroyers. Tarkin is dead, but I recognize this trick. I know what the Imperial Commander plans to do. Do we have a sensor network on the far side of the moon? No, Admiral, the city commander said. We had considered it years ago, but... I didn't think so, Akbar said. So we're blind there, correct? Correct. What are you getting at, Admiral? Leia said. There's a third Star Destroyer hiding behind our moon. When Akbar said that, half of the chattering voices in the room fell silent. The others turned toward him in amazement. What proof do you have? Leia tried to use her fledgling powers with the Force to sense the hidden enemy ship, but either it was too distant, or she was not skilled enough, or it wasn't there. The actions of the Imperial Commander tell me all I need, Akbar said. Their main target is indeed the shipyards. Moments after these two Star Destroyers came out of hyperspace, a third also emerged, concealed in the shadow of our moon. The Vanguard attack is designed to lure us away from the shipyards, tricking us into throwing our entire defenses against a feint. When the third Star Destroyer comes in at full sublight speed, the shipyards will be helpless. With one run, the third Star Destroyer can obliterate our starship assembly facilities with virtually no losses of its own. But, Admiral, the city commander said, why did you just withdraw all our forces from the shipyards? Akbar nodded. Because you are going to give me remote command of that ship. he indicated the huge space dock hangar where the skeletal hull of the new battlecruiser Startide hung in orbit. "But, sir, none of the Startide's weapons are functional." "But its engines work, if I am not mistaken." "Yes," the city commander said. "We tested the sublight engines only last week. The hyperdrive reactor core has been installed, but we have never taken the ship into hyperspace." "Not necessary," Akbar said. "Have all the construction engineers been evacuated?" "Yes, at first sign of the attack." "Then give me remote operations." "Admiral," the city commander said tentatively, then punched in a command code sequence. "If it were anyone other than you." Taking control, Akbar stepped into the field where virtual images were projected with a parallax designed for wide-set telescopic eyes. The half-constructed ship powered up its engines and locked into drone mode. With an inaudible roar of massive sublight engines, the unarmed battleship crawled away from the orbital shipyards, picking up speed as it ascended from the planet's gravity well. The engines were powerful enough to haul along the entire connected framework of the space dock. Akbar didn't mind. The more mass, the better. Leia bit her lip as the echoes of attack thundered from above, as the external imagers showed the damage to Foamwander's outer shell as another wave of TIE fighters swooped down to scorch any exposed surface. Kilgall seemed to have gone into a kind of trance. Leia wondered if the shock had numbed her. The ambassador stood before the orbital images of swarming fighters, both the B-wing defenders and TIE attackers. She reached out with her fingers, touching seemingly random blips of light. "This one. Now this one. Now this one," she said. Barely a moment after she touched each one, the screen flared bright, marking the destruction of the indicated ships. Leia was amazed, unable to believe that Kilgall could pick them so accurately. But with the fledgling abilities Luke had taught her, Leia could feel a tug in the female ambassador, an instinctive working of the Force. She asked, already suspecting the answer, "How are you doing that?" "Just like with the school of fish," Kilgall said quietly. "It's only a trick, but I wish I could get in contact with our fighters. This one, this one." With a long finger, she traced one of the B-wing fighters that seemed perfectly safe in the midst of its own squadron. But then a damaged TIE fighter out of control spiraled through the group of ships and impacted the doomed B-wing. Kilgall had done the same thing with the school of fish as the Krakena monster fed. The female ambassador looked astonished and stricken. "There's not enough time," she said. "I can't figure it out soon enough." Despite the fury of the Imperial attack, Leia felt a thread of wonder pass through her. Even without further testing, she knew that Kilgall had the potential to use her powers as a Jedi. Leia would have to send Kilgall to Luke's training center on Yavin 4, if they somehow survived here. Akbar felt as if he were part of the massive derelict ship as he controlled it from the core of Foamwander City. He paid no attention to the loud status reports and alarms in Central Command. His entire body was an extension of the Startide, and he stared through sensor eyes. Its engines added velocity to the great hulk. Calamari's moon grew larger as he approached it, then began to streak by close to the airless cratered surface and out of sensor range to the dark side of the moon, where the third Star Destroyer lay in wait. Akbar powered up the Startide's hyperdrive reactors and shut off the automatic coolant systems. Alarms ran through his body as the ship's warning routines screamed at him, but Akbar increased the power output, trying to hold it in, restraining the seething energy that waited to explode from the great uncompleted battleship. As he brought the Startide around the curve of the moon, Akbar saw the arrowhead shape of a third Star Destroyer just powering up its weapons batteries. There it is. The third Star Destroyer suddenly detected the Mon Calamari battlecruiser and began unleashing a flurry of turbolaser bolts, but Akbar didn't care. One of the blasts detonated a joint in the space dock framework surrounding the Startide, and a network of girders dropped into space. Molten droplets flew from the starboard flank, where a direct hit vaporized part of the hull. Akbar drove on at full speed on his suicide run, heading directly down the Star Destroyer's throat. The Imperial ship continued to fire. Akbar released the last safety mechanisms that held the unshielded hyperdrive reactor in check. The superheated energy furnace would reach its flash point within seconds. He disconnected himself from the command console and let the laws of physics take their course. Admiral Dalla shouted into the comm system, "Captain Brusk, tell me what's going on." The Manticore had just begun its triumphant run to destroy the Calamarian shipyards when all havoc broke loose. Alarms interrupted her transmission. The captain scrambled and shouted orders. "It's another ship, Admiral," Brusk said, flashing a glance and wanting to bark orders, yet not quite daring to ignore Dalla. "It came out of nowhere. They must have known we were here."
"Impossible," Dalla said. "They couldn't have known we were here. We left no sensor trace. Ops, give me the Manticore's tactical sensors."
On the screen, Dalla saw her third Star Destroyer and the skeletal Calamarian Star Cruiser. It looked ridiculously cumbersome, dragged back by heavy construction frameworks, yet it moved inexorably. Dalla understood the suicide tactic immediately.
"Get out of there!"
The Manticore veered to get out of the Star Tide's path, but the Calamarian cruiser came on too fast. The Manticore's turbo laser batteries did nothing to slow its approach. Dalla held her back rigid, forcing herself not to wince. She gripped the cold rail at her bridge station. Her knuckles whitened. The plasteel floor seemed to drop out from under her. Her dry mouth opened in a wordless shout of no. The Calamarian battleship struck the underbelly of the Manticore. Just before the impact, though, the Star Tide went nova, erupting into blinding waves of energy that tore the Manticore apart. Captain Brusk's transmission cut off abruptly. Dalla turned away, gritting her teeth and refusing to let acid tears of failure well up in her green eyes. She thought of all the weaponry, all the personnel, all the responsibility that had just been destroyed. She stared into space, blinded by the brilliant double explosion that flowed out behind Calamari's moon, creating an artificial eclipse. 18. Kip Duran felt exhilarated, yet foolish at the same time. The other Jedi students had stopped their own exercises and dropped back to watch Kip at work. Surrounded by the dense foliage of the jungle, with humid air wrapped like sweat around him, Kip balanced his body. His feet extended straight up into the air, his back rigid. He held himself upright with one hand resting flat on the rough ground. The heel of his palm sank into the soft dirt. Blades of sharp grass stuck between his fingers. He could balance himself with less difficulty on a more level piece of ground, but that would be too easy. His dark hair hung around his face. Droplets of perspiration ran in tiny trickles along his scalp. With his free hand, Kip supported a moss-covered boulder he had uprooted from the ground. Clumps of dirt pattered to the grass. He held the rock in the air with only a small effort,